So let's talk about judging prophecy. All right. A person that's judging, that judging doesn't mean condemning. Okay. We're not doing condemning here. We're discerning. I should change the name of it. Prophecy is to be discerned. So if you have either Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, you've grown to a place of being able to discern the voice of your Heavenly Father. Because remember, all revelation comes from the Father. The Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 that the Father would release the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Are you feeling loved, affirmed, built up, and encouraged in your Christian life, and especially with the closeness of your Heavenly Father? Okay. A person discerning should either have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, they should be mature, and they should have some wisdom in the realm of the Spirit to be able to discern, number one, was that prophecy scriptural? Does it align with Scripture? Number two, what is the spirit of the prophecy? Did it bear witness with my spirit? Do I feel encouraged and built up, or do I feel criticized, condemned, or controlled? Okay, that's another one. So speaking specifically about prophets, though, is what the context of that part of 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about. So when you ask, in that particular set of scriptures, is it talking about prophets judging and not other people? I think it's both. Because as we're going to learn in 1 Thessalonians 5, the Bible says to all believers, it says, first of all, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Holy Spirit, despise not prophecies, grieve not Holy Spirit, test all things, hold fast to that which is true. That's for everybody. But in this set of scriptures where it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others discern or judge, it's in the context of prophets, because it goes on to say, but if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let him keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. For the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, and God is not the God of confusion. Okay. So I love how it says that you can sit there quietly. One of the commentaries on this talk about maybe it's not your role to give a prophetic word, but you can quietly sit and listen to Holy Spirit within you and discern. Was that Holy Spirit from the Lord? Did it speak grace to me? Okay, because we're talking now about discerning prophecy. So the other thing is we have to discern based upon scriptures. Again, we learned in 1 Thessalonians 5, going back to 18, well, actually 19, don't quench Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. You know, by shutting down prophecy, well, these guys are all making mistakes and I don't feel God. Let's just shut the whole thing down. No. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're going to learn. We're going to discern. We're going to build bridges, and we're going to learn better practices, best practices going forward. Okay. So it says to test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So how do you test it? And we're going to talk about that. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 13:1, it says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So what's interesting, though, is that many of the prophets are kind of cloistering to themselves. So you've got this stream, you've got that stream, you've got another stream. But what we're not seeing is you're not seeing them kind of submitting to each other what truth is. Like one particular prophet was saying, I'm submitted to prophets. But the truth is, they're listening to each other, confirming each other in their kind of belief system. But they've said that the other prophets that don't believe what they believe have missed it, number one. They've also said that they only recanted their and repented of their prophecy because they were afraid of people. Now, trust me, I know these people that asked for forgiveness when they missed it. They are not afraid of people. And they were told, we've been told, the body of Christ has been told that the reason they repented of their prophecy is because they were afraid of losing their donor base. Now, that was sad for me, because I'm like, we need to learn to play in the playground together. You understand? The prophets need to get in the sand and learn to share each other's toys, right? And so I'm not lambasting one side or the other. I'm just concerned about what do we need to do to get back into the sandbox together and play together again, okay? We have to stop throwing salvos, disqualifying people of their salvation or their prophetic role. And it's just amazing because, you know, one was saying about the other ones that, you know, they were afraid of people and they didn't want to lose their donor base. I know people on both sides. I have phone numbers, personal cell phone numbers of people on both sides. I love people on both sides. But what I'm seeing and what I'm concerned about is that I know that all these people have had decades of experience. And the people that they were saying, well, they just were afraid of losing their donor base. They're not in it for the money. They couldn't care less about the money. Okay. Anyway, so questions of content. Let's talk about discerning prophecy. Now, I've talked a lot about prophets. I didn't mean to go there yet. We are not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We are not saying these prophets are not of God. We're saying that there's some maturity, some tweaking, and some realigning that the Lord's going to do in the prophetic movement, and we get to be part of that, okay? So let's talk about prophecy. Does it conform to Scripture? 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. We have a more sure word of prophecy that you do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in the darkness until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts, knowing that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by Holy Spirit. This is 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. Does it conform to Scripture? It doesn't have to be word for word, but it can't go against the fundamental tenets of the Bible, okay? It can't go against what the Bible says. It can be, there's some revelation that you can call kind of peripheral revelation. It doesn't go against the Bible, but you want to weigh it regarding, does it cut against the Bible? Okay, great. If it doesn't cut against the Bible because it's not about doctrine, what's the fruit of it? And so let's talk about that. Does it conform to Scripture? Does it promote the knowledge of God? Ephesians 1, 17, Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And it goes on in verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we will be, our eyes are flooded with light to know what is the hope of our calling. So this is true prophecy. What's the hope of our calling? Not you're all going to hell, you're all on the left, you're part of the deep state. If you don't believe this, you're in it for the money. I heard one the other day. I'm not purposely trying to like find fault, I promise you. But what's happening is people send me threads and I'm like, and because sometimes there are people that I love and maybe they're even in my sphere, I'm like, oh, I should listen to that. You lily-livered pastors and you people have turned back from the way of Korah. And I'm like, you know, and that's not what they said, but that was the intent. They were like, they are saying lily-livered pastors, if you don't believe this and you've turned back, you've become weak, you're basically really a failure. And that's not New Testament. That's not the New Testament. We're saved by grace in Jesus. You know, I love how Rodney King said one time, you know, I was living right down the street from him when all that happened years ago, but he said, can't we all just get along? You know, this is kind of where I'm at, you know, I'm not trying to find fault, but I am concerned about the fruit. I'm not judging the prophets. I am looking at the fruit and I'm saying, let's address that going forward in our own lives, okay? With our prophetic life and our prophetic ministry, okay? I have received so much condemnation. I have lost relationships with about seven of my friends because I didn't believe a prophecy was happening in that particular timeline. It wasn't my revelation. It wasn't something God showed me. I've learned the hard way not to believe what prophets say unless I bear witness with it for myself. If God's not showing me that, then I'm like, that's your revelation. God bless you in that. God bless your faith. It's just not my revelation. Okay. I'm accountable for my walk with the Lord. Joanna, you had a question.
You know what? I just want to make a small comment, and I'm just like, honestly, I'm just so grateful that you're addressing this, because it's something that I feel has created a lot of confusion. And so what I've gone through with this whole confusion is I have friends from different backgrounds in Christianity. So I'm receiving what I hear, it's hurtful, especially being someone that flows in the prophetic, and to hear people, Christians bashing on each other, it's just not the love of Christ. And then saying, oh, you see, because, you know, with a certain denomination, they don't believe in prophecy. So then that's being thrown out.
Yeah.
And we forget the purpose of it. Doesn't matter what denomination, what matters is you're spreading the kingdom.
Yeah. It's so good. And one commentator said this, one Christian commentator who's baptized in the Holy Spirit, let's find our way together, everybody. I don't have all the answers. I'm just trying to find my way. Sometimes things have streams of truth. One Christian full gospel commentator said the big concern right now is so many people were on the sidelines regarding the prophetic movement, the things of the Spirit. And he said there's a concern that much of the body of Christ globally now, because this is global attention now, is going to go into what's called cessationalism. In other words, because the prophetic movement has become kind of divided and a source of concern right now, that there's a concern that many places in the world will go into what's called cessationalism. Cessationalism is when people throw the baby out with the bathwater and they don't trust anything that has to do with the Spirit anymore. So when you have 200 prophets say a particular thing is going to happen and it doesn't happen on the date, it's not even so much about the event, it's about it didn't happen in the date they said or the way they said, and they keep moving the target, the rest of the world's, especially people on the sidelines that are Christians, are watching this and they're like, this stuff is a bunch of hooey, you know? So it's a very big concern. So we've got to get back onto scripture, okay? Thank you. I am trying to just find my way with this, and I'm being very honest with you. I may overproject my own hurt and my own wounds. I may overproject my own concerns and my own feelings of rejection. So work with me in the weeks ahead. Let's find our way together. Okay. That's why this is a forum. So we can kind of share together. Does it conform to scripture? Does it promote the knowledge of God? How many of these prophecies are they talking about Jesus? Hello, everybody. Jesus. What happened to Jesus, everybody? What happened to getting saved and building the kingdom through good works? And, you know, a lot of this stuff, it has nothing to do with Jesus. Like, where's Jesus, everybody? You can listen to so many things and you're like, what happened to just being the kingdom, releasing the kingdom, speaking the kingdom? Where is the Lord Jesus in this? I have a real concern with that, you know? And I know I'm going to lose people. And I know this because people are holding on so tightly to what they want so bad. And trust me, I was one of them. I was one of them. I want, you know, I live in this kind of Aussie and Harriet kind of Americana idea of what I think life should be for me. It was devastating for me to find out that some of the things I thought were the Lord was not. So I'm trying to find my way, okay? And I am open to and much more knowledgeable of kind of a broader stretch of my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that I wasn't hearing before. Does it promote the knowledge of God? I hear very little the name of Jesus in this, okay, or building the kingdom of God. Does it strengthen, encourage, and comfort? Okay. Do I feel edified, encouraged, built up, and comforted? 1 Corinthians 14:3, and don't forget Ephesians 1:17 and 18. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. How many of these prophecies are number one, edifying, building up, number two, exhorting, bringing comfort, and consolation and comfort? Okay, if you're prophesying, there needs to be a roadmap of encouragement and blessing, okay, for you personally, okay? If predictive or revelatory, is it accurate? Now, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, unpack this a little bit. In Deuteronomy 18:21-22, it says, if you say in your heart, how will we know if the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. In other words, you don't have to fear everything he does or says. Now, let me unpack that. All, and I'm going to throw this out there for you, all personal prophecy is conditional. Oh, God bless you, Margot. If you're still here, God bless you. She's in New York. She had to get off. She is amazing because she works for the UN. You know, we're hearing words in the prophetic realm that says this. And I'm honestly going to be honest with you. Okay, I'm going to say it like this. How, God, give me wisdom. Margot works for the United Nations. The Bible says to carry the kingdom of God to every nation in the world. Every nation. The Bible says to make disciples of nations. Now, I love America. You can ask Christy. My mom was raped in the flag. That woman, I learned every kind of patriotic song there was. But do you know that the kingdom of God is not a national kingdom? It is a global kingdom. You can almost say that God is a globalist. Okay, I love America, but I am number one, a child of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I encourage you to watch my Sunday morning message for Firepoint Church. My husband and I are co-lead pastors of Firepoint Church. I spoke on the character of the kingdom. I preached for about 45 minutes. This coming Sunday on our Firepoint Church Facebook page, our public Facebook page, I will be sharing on the character of the kingdom. And I know, trust me, I'm not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I do think and feel certain ways about this country, that it's important to bless and encourage and build up our country. But my primary is the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm not ignorant, trust me. I could quote all kinds of people to you. I've watched all the streams. I'm very well versed, if you will, in all kinds of things, patriot, trust me. But God is a globalist. Jesus Christ is the Lord over the nations. Manajay, what nation were you born in? I believe, Manajay, you were born in Iran, weren't you? Does God love America more than he loves Iran?
Hallelujah. Yes, Pastor. Persia.
Persia. Yes. Does God love America more than he loves Persia? No. So listen, there are certain things we want our country to be blessed and healthy. We rejoice when the righteous rule and all of that. But we've got to keep our eyes back on Jesus. And we need a balance. That's all I'm doing. So maybe my pendulum is going way off too far. And when it comes back, we'll have a balance of truth. Does that make sense? So maybe I'm a little off balance right now, but I'm kind of trying to give another perspective so that we can get healthy in our prophetic discernment. Does it conform to scripture? Does it promote the knowledge of God? Does it strengthen, encourage, and comfort? You know, I can tell you how many prophecies I've listened to in the last 3 months where, you know, people are screaming into the mic and saying, you know, just very, very judgmental and hurtful things. If predictive or revelatory, is it accurate? Now, every personal prophecy is conditional, okay? So this is not the number one way of discerning if a prophecy is from the Lord, because the truth is, even if it didn't come to pass, sometimes that prophecy was from the Lord, but it was conditional. If a prophecy you've heard and believed about a person didn't happen, it might be because either the prophecy wasn't from the Lord, or it was from the Lord, but the person did not meet the criteria to fulfill that particular prophecy. Here's another thing about prophecy. Sometimes, for example, when God prophesied about Tyre, he said, you know, and this is a whole different thing, but with the city of Tyre, you know, they're going to build siege walls and they're going to come over on land and going to be go into the sea and you're going to be rubble forever. Well, the beginning of that began to happen, but then the rest and the final part of that word didn't happen for 200 years. So let's say a word is from the Lord. Sometimes it's not a chronos time. It's not linear. Sometimes it's a kairos time. Sometimes it doesn't happen in the timeline you think it's going to happen. Now, if you're a prophet and you say it's going to happen thus and so on a particular day, and it doesn't happen on that particular day, then you shouldn't have said it was going to happen on that day. And you're accountable for what you said. Now, if you were saying spiritually and God's going to do it in a spiritual way, that's one thing. That's great. God can do that. God bless. Amen. Go God. But if you are speaking a date and you're saying in December, it's going to happen by the end of this month, or you're in January, it's going to happen right now. Or some people, they're actually saying it's happening right now. And you're like, what planet are you living on? It's not happening right now. And the person that you're talking about is saying it's not happening. So do you, you know, even the person that this involves is saying, I'm not doing that right now, you know? And so my concern is that people want things so badly that they just, okay. So for example, I'm just going to go back to this. Words are containers. Prophetic people hear what I'm saying. The most powerful expression of the Spirit of God within you are your words. I have had to repent many times for either missing it, not so much maybe the revelation, but the interpretation of it, and or missing it in the application of it. Maybe I thought something was going to happen right away and it didn't happen in that time frame. Or maybe I thought it was going to happen, or it was happening in their life and it wasn't happening then, it was going to happen in the future. The point is, your words are the most powerful thing you have to express the Spirit of God. You are accountable for your words. Prophets are accountable for their words. You are accountable for your words. So if you are saying it's going to happen by the end of November, December, January, and you keep putting dates and those things are coming out your mouth, it's not necessarily that you're a false prophet, but you need to be accountable. There needs to be an accountability, okay? You missed it. It's not even about the prophecy itself. Maybe the prophecy can happen in 4 years, or maybe it can happen in a couple of years. It's not even so much about the prophecy. That's between them and God. It's not my revelation. But there is a concern when you put a date on something, and that's the danger. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, are you going to establish your kingdom now? And even Jesus said, you know what? The time is in the hands of the Father. So a big concern is when people give dates and the dates don't happen. There needs to be a sign of humility. And when you talk about the character of a prophet, there needs to be a template of humility, okay? Now, for example, Moses, the Bible says that there was not a prophet in all the earth like Moses. And it says why? Because he was the most humble man. on the earth. But now you have people saying, I'm not backing down, I'm standing my ground, I'm not going to repent. I get that. In your belief, God bless you. That's between you and God. But my concern is when you said a certain thing and the way you said it, you're still accountable when it didn't happen the way you said it was going to happen. So let's talk about prophecy. For example, Jesus said, for example, in the last book of the Bible, in Malachi, it says, I will send Elijah before you. Now he said, I'm going to send Elijah, the person of Elijah. So everybody was waiting for Elijah to show up. And guess what God did do? He didn't send Elijah himself. He sent John the Baptist, and Jesus said he was the spirit of Elijah. So some things can be not necessarily that person's going to do it, but maybe somebody like that person. Okay. So I'm just saying, if it doesn't come to pass, yes, it possibly was a false prophecy, or it's going to be done in a different time, and that's why it's important not to put time frames on it. Or maybe it's going to be not that person themselves, but maybe somebody like them. There's a lot of parameters. My big concern is twofold. My number one, one of my concerns is that you have specific dates and you have specific events that are not being addressed. And listen, this doesn't mean you quit your ministry. This just means, can we talk about this? You're accountable when you put a date and it doesn't happen. Okay, number two, I'm concerned about the lack of accountability. You know, everyone's just kind of going on. And does it draw us closer to God? Do you feel like you're being closer to them? Are you being challenged to follow their ministry? And I was teaching this long before all this happened. Do you feel like you need to follow them, follow their ministry, and believe their word more than the Lord? Or do you feel drawn closer to Jesus? Okay, it's very important. You be led by Holy Spirit. You hear what Holy Spirit says to you. You get to choose. Holy Spirit does not speak to them greater than he speaks to you. You are a child of the Most High God. You are one spirit with the Lord. And when I teach on the character of the kingdom, I hope you can watch it. Some of you, it'll be on our Facebook page, and you can watch it anytime after Sunday if you don't see it in person. I teach about you are one spirit with the Lord. Nothing can, it should ever come between you and the Lord. And what happened was over COVID and over the hardships that we went through in 2020, we cleaved to the prophets. I was one of them, cleaving to the prophets, hanging on their every word, looking for the hope of Israel. But I think there was a little bit of an inordinate understanding of how Holy Spirit works within us. Did we go before the Lord and find out for ourselves what God was saying to us personally? Amen. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Does it point us to Jesus? Because remember, in Revelation 19, an angel appeared to John. John bowed down to worship him, but I'm of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Where is Jesus? You hear a whole lot about somebody else. But where is Jesus? Jesus is your savior, not a man. I'm really concerned that maybe God had to remove certain people in our life so that we could put our eyes back on Jesus, because he will have no other God before him. Okay. Question. Let's talk about the messenger. We're talking about discerning prophecy. So now you've got discerning the word itself. Now let's talk about the messenger, because remember, it's not just about the word. It's about the person giving the word, because it's not just about the word itself. It's about the spirit that is being released through the word. And that's my concern. what is being released in that prophecy. It's not just the word, it's the spirit that is behind it. Is the messenger solid, stable, and mature in their Christian life and of sound character? The Bible says in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. I'm not judging anybody's heart. These people love the Lord. They have decades of good service to the body of Christ. I am looking at the fruit. I am concerned about the fruit I'm seeing. We talked about that before. Two prophets that I know of said that we need to actually take up arms and fight our country. Seriously. I am concerned when prophets start putting out a call to arms to overthrow our government. I didn't feel like that was the spirit of God.
No.
I didn't feel like that was going to help build the kingdom of God, especially when the rest of the world is seeing prophets saying this. Okay? So I'm concerned about the fruit. I'm concerned about the fruit of delusion. I've had two prophets tell me, one of them is known internationally with thousands and thousands of following, that a certain person that, and I'll say it like this, I'm going to just be out there. They literally said, there's somebody running the military and the finances of our country, but it's not our president. It's not President Biden. Beloved, I have friends that were in the military. That is delusion. If you think that the government, the administration that's up there right now is not in charge of the military, whoever is up there has the football. That's the nuclear arms. I've talked with people that were in the Navy, people that were in the military. Whoever is up there right now is in charge of the military and the finances. But there's a belief out there now that is saying, and this, I just heard this one particular prophet say it. In fact, I've heard several of them, but this one, he was really bold. I was shocked. He said that that President Biden is not in charge of the military and he's not in charge of the finances of our nation. That's very concerning. Because beloved, I'm concerned because these are the things that wake me up at night. I cry. I'm like, am I missing it? Am I wrong? And my husband and I are just amazed because we get sent threads to hear people because people we know and love and are people among us listen to this. As much as whether we like it or whether we don't, no matter what we want, it is delusional to think that there is another republic set up somewhere else, that somebody else is in control other than the Biden administration at this time. That doesn't mean God can't change it if that's the Lord's will, okay? I'm just saying there's delusion. There's literal delusion. People have lost their mind because they want something so bad that they're not reevaluating and coming back to the table with other mature people in the Lord and reevaluating what they're saying. That is called, and people are like, yeah, we knew this, you know, because we really wanted this. And it's not true, especially because the person they're talking about is like, I just want to go have martinis on a yacht in Florida. Hello? What are you guys talking about? You know? Anyway, Jesus is Lord. So questions of the messenger, you know them by their fruit. Are they free of serious emotional, physical, or psychological problems? If they have mental problems, are they on medication? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I had a prophet friend of mine who did have problems with schizophrenia. He was very anointed as a prophet, but he did have psychological problems and he stayed on meds. And we helped him with that to make sure he was monitored. And he was anointed, called of God, but he had a psychological ailment that did not cause a problem with him as a prophet as long as he stayed on his meds. Are they in good standing in fellowship? So are they accountable? Are they going to allow people to speak into their lives? Are they free from wanting to control, manipulate, or have significance through their utterances? I'm going to read that again and I'm going to move on. Are they free from wanting to control, manipulate, or to have significance through their utterances? Now let's talk about the manner. And that is a concern. I feel like there's a little bit, I don't think they mean it. I think they're really trying to encourage people to kind of believe this amazing thing that God's going to do in the nation. But the way that they're doing it is manipulative. Now, I was in a cult one time. Christy can tell you. We know manipulation. And we know spiritual manipulation when it's wrapped in the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing, and even the affirmation of global leaders. Christy and I know. We've been in a cult before. We know what it feels like to have mixture in the anointing and be, and because this particular leader was having, this particular leader, not the people I'm talking about with prophets, I'm talking about an ex-pastor that we had, was involved sexually with several people in the church. The way he kept people from kind of ratting him out was he manipulated and controlled them. He used shame, control, and manipulation to keep people suppressed. Do you understand? Are you sensing shame, control, or manipulation to kind of make people believe whatever? Okay. There's a concern about this. Now, these are things the Lord will mature and he will address and he will bring it back into health and balance and love and kingdom. Okay. I'm just saying. Okay. So what is the spirit of it? Is the prophecy delivered in the spirit of love? 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Where's the love? I'm just saying. I was so disappointed a couple weeks ago because I'm a mother in the prophetic, and somebody sent me a link of somebody who's a new prophet. He's young. At least he looked young to me. And I was so excited to hear somebody new. I was so excited to hear a breath, a fresh word. And he spent half of his time criticizing pastors and other prophets that didn't believe certain things. He didn't have to add that. You know, you can say what you believe. You can give a prophetic word and just give it. You know, when my mailman delivers the mail, he puts the mail in the mailbox and then he walks away. He does it in service. He does it in dedication. When we give prophetic words, we're to give words that encourage, build up, and edify. Our job is to give the word. My mailman does not come into my house and beat me over the head with his mail bag if I don't act on those bills that I just received in the mail. When I get my Spectrum bill and I get my DWP bill and all this, Department of Water and Power, that mailman does not come in my house and start beating me over the head and making sure I do what he says I should be doing, okay? That's not the job of a prophet, not a New Testament prophet. Now, we can give warnings, general warnings. If you'll do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. But to across the board tell the entire rest of the body of Christ that you're lily-livered, the pastors are lily-livered, weak-kneed. That's what he said. Lily-livered and weak-kneed because they don't believe what God's doing, blah, 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 blah. So much mudslinging, okay? So I was so sad. I thought, yay, it's going to be awesome. Anyway, so what is the spirit of it? Does it bear witness with your spirit? Now, I came from an abusive background. I was hurt a lot growing up. And so I have sensitivities. Do you feel like you're being, you know, let's put it this way. Is it delivered in the spirit of love? Are you feeling the DNA of Jesus? Every true prophecy should have in it the DNA of Jesus Christ, his divine nature, and attributes. Amen. What's the spirit of it? Does it bear witness with your spirit? Romans 9:1, bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, however, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak to you, and he'll show you things to come. Beloved, the highest way of knowing the will of God for the future is the Holy Spirit within you. Now, you know, I equip prophets. I release people in their prophetic giftings, but none of that is ever to get between you and God himself. The number one way you hear God is not through a prophet. They can confirm and they can create, but it's always about primarily what is God telling you? How is Holy Spirit guiding you? Remember Romans 8, those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Amen. It is not necessary that every prophetic word satisfies all the aforementioned criteria, but where any of these are found to be wanting, we need to weigh and discern the prophetic word accordingly. Amen. And just remember that all prophetic words are conditional. Amen. I hope that helped you. I know it's a lot. I know some of you are like, what in the world, Jeannie? But if we just sweep this under the rug and ignore it, it's you're going to have to deal with this sooner or later. Let's put it that way. Jenny, go ahead. Did you have a question, honey?
No. I just wanted to share something. just as a comfort and encouragement for all of us, and responding to what Joanna was also sharing, I too have a lot of Christian friends from different backgrounds as well, meaning like different denomination. And that could include some maybe in the cessationalist direction. And, you know, obviously, you know, all of us are in the charismatic circle. And so I could totally empathize with what she felt. And just comfort and encouragement for all of us. I just really feel like this season, like we talked about this during our Wednesday prayer, you know, Fire Point Church Wednesday prayer often too. But I really feel like this is a season of love where Jesus is really drawing us into knowing our identity in him as his beloved. And in the reality of letting that love inside us, knowing ourselves as his beloved overflowing, where love is going to overcome everything. Like love always wins. Love always wins. So even with those who may be in the cessationalist, what's really interesting is that just like the Bible says that God's sheep hear his voice. Like the Lord said that my sheep hears my voice, right? So even some of the friends that I have in the non-charismatic circle, they may not necessarily use the word prophetic, but sometimes I see them even flowing in the prophetic anointing too. So they may not use the terminology of, you know, prophetic ministry. So I see like when, like with the relationships that I have, when we have that like heart-to-heart connection with God's love for ourselves and God's love for one another, and we like focus on that just connection in that heart of love, like it just overcomes whether they consider themselves cessationalist or not. So I just felt just to encourage that even though it may look like now is a time where prophetic may be bashed or maybe it's going to go more in the cessational direction, I think it's an exciting time where we can really focus more on growing in knowing our identity as God's beloved and in that overflow reality where there is like greater unity and harmony, actually, even though it looks like there's a lot of division. Like I feel excitement in my spirit where in the darkest, you know, at the darkest, that's like right before, you know, when the dawn is going to come. And I feel like God's behind the scenes stirring up more momentum for greater unity and harmony for all of us, no matter what denominations that we're in as God's beloveds. And the last thing that I just wanted to share is I'm reminded that even when there are division or even intense feelings of division, that it's really our warfare spirit to spirit, not flesh to flesh, right? Even though every flesh has their free will of being stubborn or prideful, we're not going to excuse that just by saying, oh, spiritual warfare. We all have our responsibility to be accountable, to be humble and all that. But it encourages me so much to remind myself that it's a spirit to spirit thing. And then when I remind myself of that, it helps me to not be like, it's hurtful, but not be too hurtful because it's spirit to spirit. And as we just really engage in more of loving one another, like that spirit of love is going to, you know, overcome. And some healing, because it takes, you know, quicker, and some things take more time. But So I just wanted to share that word of comfort and encouragement for all of us, that though it looks like it's a very breaking time, I feel like, you know, behind the scenes, God is stirring up the momentum for even greater unity and harmony. And lastly, I just kept being reminded of Romans chapter 12, and there's so much in there that I'm not going to take time to read, encouraging all of us.
So good, Jenny. Thank you so much. And one of the things that, even though I feel and I'm concerned that maybe some things are kind of over, I think that there's some things that might have gotten a little bit off balance, or maybe some things that have gotten a little bit out of place. I do want to say that I agree with you, Jenny. I feel like that God is going to take the strengths, even in the areas of faith. I feel like that there's, even though some things I think are a little bit misplaced faith, at least for this time, I feel like God is going to use this amazing swell of faith in people and in the body of Christ to kind of help us. And in other words, I believe God's going to take the good things, the things that are redemptive, and he's going to bring us all together, and he's going to bring us into a place of maturity, so that even the places that the body of Christ has grown in some areas regarding maybe over actualized faith or over actualized beliefs, I really believe, though, that God's going to redeem all of that somehow and cause us to grow up in even a better way. And again, I don't have all the answers. I'm not trying to critique. I'm not trying to overly critique but I am trying to kind of discern because of my own personal experience and what I have seen. That doesn't mean I have all the answers. So what I'm saying is this: let's find our way together. Okay, let's listen to each other. Let's hear other points of view, and let's kind of get back on the road together in the realm of unity and how God wants to use each of us prophetically to build his body.